Welcome back, everybody, to the Lions Collective. Today, we're going through our 53-man roster predictions. We'll be going through it all. We appreciate you for tuning in to Lions Collective. All right, we're back. Every single Wednesday, Lions Collective is live 6 to 7. I'm your host, Jeff Iafredi, Crunchtime Sports, Woodward Sports. Below me, Justin Rogers, Detroit Football Network. Below him, Will Birchfield, 97.1 The Ticket. And then below him is Colton Pouncey from The Athletic. By the way, we were at the Tigers game on Monday. Shout out Kyle, Dog and Pony Show Brewing. As you can see, we're finding ways to implement him and Dog and Pony Show into this show because they are a proud sponsor and Kyle's a good friend of ours. Which, by the way, Kyle's got some big things coming for Dog and Pony. Just wanted to shout that out before we begin here and what he's working on. Now with cocktails being implemented into Dog and Pony Show Brewing, which is a massive – I mean, we tried them. We tried a lot of things on Monday.
They're phenomenal. Yeah,
they are phenomenal. So big credit to him. They're crushing it. I'm telling you, from where we started with them to where Kyle is now, they're only getting bigger. So mention Lions Collective when you go in, get a dollar off your beer. So shout out Dog and Pony Show. But today we're going through our 53-man roster predictions. You guys find the name. I want to make sure we give credit to the website because it looks beautiful. It looks absolutely beautiful.
Justin, you want to go or you want me to take it?
Yeah. He reached out to both Colton and I, Lions fan. He built this website out called prideroster.com. Recommend that. And it's a really nice way to, and what we're going to use today to kind of go through and build our own 53. The gentleman's name is Vineet Singhal. And, you know, he's kind of kept Colton and I in the loop with each stage. And we've kind of helped, I guess, fine tune some of the position settings and whatnot. I love it. I'm going to be using it as long as he's updating it for hopefully several years.
Hell yeah, Vineet.
I've used it really all summer. I think he first emailed me maybe, I'm going to say like May or June during OTA's minicamp. And he's just put a lot of work into it. I think he emailed me the other day and said, after we kind of shared on Twitter, he's had over 400 roster projections published. And I assume it's been more since then. So
nice.
Shout out to you guys for taking advantage. He built this for Lions fans. So people can kind of build their own rosters and make it interactive. It's been fun. So I've used it for all of mine so far, and we'll use it again today.
I think half those 400 were Colton and Jeremy Reisman.
Probably.
But one more time, that website, just in case you don't want to go back, it's Pride, as in Pride of Detroit, or Lions Pride, whatever, prideroster.com.
Let's begin. Let's start going through position by position. Feel free. Anybody take the lead on quarterback. We'll start with QB and see where we work down from here.
If it's cool with you guys, I'm going to throw Jared Goff in the roster. He's on.
I don't object.
Yeah. Okay. Teddy Bridgewater, not on the roster. And so it's boiled down here to Josh Dobbs and Luke Altmyer. And I don't think we ever really considered the possibility of them keeping three. I think it's too tough to force those mathematics in the league now for a contender. You want to keep things elsewhere. And I think when Teddy retired and they quickly pivoted to Josh, I think you just kind of automatically gave that spot to the veteran. But Dan Campbell surprised me a little bit last week, said it's still an open competition before preseason two. And I mean, if you're just judging it by a singular performance, Josh Dobbs had the pretty egregious mistake on the interception. I'm not going to put the fumble against him as much. I thought Luke Altmyer really acquitted himself well. I thought he moved well in the pocket. I thought he got outside the pocket. I think he made good decisions. Yeah, he ate four sacks, but I'm not sure how much better he could have done on those four plays. But at the end of the day, this is a contender, guys. And when you have a contender, you can't afford a developmental player at the most important position, even if it's a backup and your starter's super reliable. I have a very difficult time not putting Dobbs on this roster and leaving Altmyer to the whims of the waivers. And if he comes back to your practice squad, I think that's the ideal scenario.
Yeah, I agree. I felt like as soon as Teddy stepped away and they quickly signed Dobbs that he was going to win the QB2 job. Sure, it might take him some time to find himself in the offense, and sure, he might need a solid showing in preseason game three, but I'd be shocked if they go any other route than Dobbs QB2 and then try and sneak Altmyer back on the roster. Dobbs is the exact profile of QB2 they have always valued with Jared Goff as QB1. It was Sudfeld. It was Kyle Allen. It was Teddy Bridgewater, obviously. It's just those veteran headsy quarterbacks with skins on the wall, as Dan likes to say, that can, if they need to, step in and run what has been and what will probably continue to be a pretty complex offense. So it just always read to me that Dobbs was their guy, would be their guy. Obviously, he has the slight connection to the Lions from the time he's been here in 2022. And I just think that he exactly fits the profile that they have always sought as a QB2 behind Jared Goff.
Yeah, I think the case for keeping, you know, Dobbs over Altmaier or Altmaier over Dobbs, it's a matter of preference and what the coaching staff prefers. As we've mentioned, the Lions have typically preferred, you know, the experienced backup to Goff to assist on game days, just be an extra sounding board for the quarterback on the sidelines. So Dobbs kind of fits that description to a T. The Lions aren't one to, you know, typically invest in that quarterback position with, like, you know, developmental type. They tried the Hendon Hooker route a couple years ago, didn't really work out. You know, Altmaier, this little risk there because he was a UDFA. But I think there's sort of this notion that if you, like, don't roster Altmaier, you know, you're going to lose him to a waiver claim, which might be the case. But I believe, I'd have to double check this, I believe there's only one quarterback claimed off waivers last year after cutdown day, and it was Tommy DeVito, a guy that has starting experience in the NFL. So I'm not really buying that argument right now, I guess. I think there's a way to, you know, keep Dobbs on the roster as that experienced veteran, while also keeping Altmaier around on the practice squad, and maybe you keep developing him and see what you have there. So I don't necessarily think they'd lose him if they don't roster him, but he has looked more poised to me, especially in that last preseason game. Dobbs, that interception does not scream backup quarterback for the Lions. They don't want quarterbacks taking chances like that. And I don't know if that's because he was antsy. You know, he hasn't been practicing a ton with the second team offense, and maybe he just wanted to make a play. I guess I get it in that sense, but that was kind of uncharacteristic for him, and probably a risk the coaches would prefer he didn't take. So it seems like they're going to give him a chance to keep battling it out, but I'd be pretty surprised if Dobbs isn't the backup.
Colton, you brought back a good memory, and by good memory, I mean probably terrible memory for a lot of people. Will might remember this. Brett Holmes. Why am I blanking on the previous GM?
Bob Quinn.
God, man.
It's been so long.
That's a good thing.
But he
just
said
expunged it from your brain.
He said his most regrettable decision as a GM was exposing Brad Kaya to waivers. Because Kaya got claimed. I don't, like, waived him as a rookie. And, of course, Brad Kaya didn't amount to jack squat. But there's a quarterback that got claimed off waivers for you, Colton.
Can you imagine if that was actually his most regrettable decision as GM? He would definitely still be GM.
It's probably true.
All right, so we got the quarterbacks settled.
Jeff, are you in alignment there? And do you think that keeping to and risking Altmaier to a waiver claim would be acceptable to most of the fans?
Well, we have people in the chat. I mean, there's one guy in the chat I see right here that, you know, is claiming that Dobbs is the one you can't necessarily trust. But if we're looking at this objectively right now, all the points you guys made are fair. I think fans, no matter who they bring in, if it's Dobbs or another veteran, they want the more exciting young guy that could be the next guy. And they believe Luke has some of that potential. But in all seriousness, if we're going objectively, it's Josh Dobbs. Like, you need a veteran who started in game. So I'm on board. And to be honest with you, like, I don't know if Luke Altmaier would necessarily be claimed off waivers. Like, he went undrafted, and I think there's something there, but if you have a chance to come back to the practice squad and earn your way back, and it's kind of like Ahmed, you know, he chose to stay here because he wanted to compete. I think Luke would do the same thing, especially if Dobbs only here 1 year. So I think it's a value to be behind Jared in this offense, and I could see him staying put on that practice squad. So I think this is the best decision. And I think fans, if you've been paying attention, I think you would agree with that as well. In my opinion,
I think we're getting cooked in the chat for picking Dobbs. Yeah.
Look, people overreact about what a backup quarterback is. Like, the primary job of a backup quarterback, particularly in a situation like this with Jared Goff, who has not missed a game, what, in 4 years, 3 years, is to be a second set of eyes, to be like a right-hand man, a coach that helps decipher things during the game week and can be a sounding board on the sideline. And what you want is a really smart guy that's seen some football, has some experience. Give me the guy that worked for NASA. I mean, clearly, like, and he knows Drew Petzing, knows his kind of schematic tendencies, can be a bridge whenever, you know, there's maybe a communication breakdown between the coordinator and quarterback, which I'm not saying there is or will be, but if there is, like, Dobbs can fill in that space. Like, he's exactly what you want. And, you know, if he needs to come in and play a series, he's smart enough to handle it. He's efficient enough to handle it. This isn't a situation where they cut all their backups a couple of years ago with Tim Boyle and David Blau because it was just such a disastrous training camp. Like, Josh Dobbs has shown some things on the practice field where, like, I totally get it. I do. I get what they see in him. I think he's a perfect backup.
Yeah, and he's shown enough things over the course of his career that of those two, he would be more likely to be claimed if they cut him. And honestly, that's what a lot of these decisions have to come down to. Like, which player can we afford to lose less, and who's more likely to be claimed if we expose him? And the answer, just based on his experience, is Dobbs. And so that, you know, that probably has to be the biggest factor taken into consideration here. It's not even a conversation about, like, who is the better quarterback right now. It's, as Justin said, who is best fit to serve as Jared's support man. And I think, to us anyways, that's pretty clearly Josh Dobbs.
Let's get to running back. Yeah, this looks like a room they visited. Well, Kareem Hunt visited recently. They have a bunch of different names in here. Isaiah Pacheco's dealing with an injury, but how do we see this running back room playing out?
This running back room is interesting. Maybe not the decisions that need to be made, but definitely some depth issues that are slowly creeping into focus here. You guys cool if we keep Gibbs?
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
I'm all right.
Yeah, we'll keep him. All right, cool. Obviously, Pacheco. I think Vaki and Sailors. Obviously, Vaki has a spot on this roster. He's one of the best special teams players in the NFL, and he could end up playing, I'm going to stick to it, a potentially big role in offense this year. And I think Sailors has done enough in camp and with the kick return ability to warrant a spot. I've been really impressed with Sailors' feet. He's a patient runner, and he can find holes that don't appear when the ball is first snapped. And I, you know, in preseason action, I think he has really acquitted himself well. But as far as this room is concerned, you know, I think it's time, and maybe it's tomorrow when we talk to Dan, just to ask for an update on Isaiah Pacheco. And I don't want to be an alarmist here, but he's missed the past, let's say, 2.5 weeks now with what Dan called a sprain or strained MCL. And that's the same injury that cost him a month last season. I'm not sure it's the same knee. This would be another point of clarification with Dan when we ask him tomorrow. But that's troubling when you consider that it also comes on the heels of the broken leg back in 2024 and just sort of how his production plummeted after the broken leg. And I think I've referenced these numbers here before, guys, so indulge me a second time. But just Isaiah Pacheco in 40 career games before the broken leg, this includes the playoffs, 4.6 yards per carry, 17 rushing touchdowns, 26 broken tackles. In 21 games since, 3.7 yards per carry, 1 rushing touchdown, 2 broken tackles. And I don't deny that he was running hard for the Lions in the early stages of camp, but you also can't deny in those numbers that he hasn't been the same physical pile moving back that he might have been earlier in his career. And to me, that's the role that he's supposed to play on this offense, sort of that short yardage, bruising running back behind Jahmyr Gibbs. So, you know, I think this might end up being a year where Sione Vaki has to prove that he really can be an effective, productive running back in the NFL, which is a bit of a daunting thought just when you consider he only has 6 NFL carries to his name. Obviously, he's accrued some practice reps over the past couple of years. But, you know, I was having a conversation in Allen Park today with a couple of people who both said, you know, RB2 spot is just a little bit uncertain right now. And, you know, it could be quickly solved by Pacheco is healthy and he looks great come week one. But I wonder if they have enough behind Gibbs, assuming Gibbs, by the way, can play 17 games for the third straight year, which is no guarantee itself. So I like those 4 to make the roster, but I will echo, I guess, what I said back in early spring, that this might end up being an important year for Vaki as a running back.
Just doubling down, Colton.
I think tripling down at this point.
I like the same 4 as you, Bertie. Obviously, I think, you know, we know what they have in Gibbs, and so we don't really need to spend much, you know, breath on that. But I think people don't really understand how important Vaki is to special teams. Like, Really, Dan said he's one of the best specialists in the league. And when the head coach is saying that, that guy's not getting cut. I can promise you that. It would take like a massive injury or, you know, underperforming, circumstances for him to not make the roster. And right now he is literally one of their most important specialists. So I don't see that happening in any way. But Sailors, I think, is going to make it as just an extra back just because, look, man, like, even like the back spasms that Vaki was having, like if you can't rely on this guy to play running back for you, then you need to have an extra running back on the roster. And then Pacheco, like we have not seen him in a minute. Last time Dan gave an update, I believe it was like we expect him to be ready for the season opener. But we're talking about an MCL injury here, MCL sprain, strain, whatever you called it. That's a knee injury, like that can linger. I don't feel great about that for a back that was billed as being healthy and that could get him back to, you know, his hard running ways. But if he's not healthy going into a season, then I have some questions about that and just what version of Pacheco you're going to get based on Burgie's numbers. So that's a little bit concerning to me. There are going to be some other running backs available that probably get cut or waived here. And I don't know if they're going to take a look at some of those. They did work out Kareem Hunt. I don't know if that's tied to Pacheco or just, you know, having an extra running back in camp, last couple of days here, but something, I think it is worth asking Dan about it. Probably tomorrow just because we haven't gotten an update on Pacheco in a little bit.
Yeah. Backs 3 and 4 have to be special teams guys. You guys know how many special team snaps Kareem Hunt's played in his career?
Zero.
It actually surprised me.
Yeah.
Zero special team snaps. Yeah. So if it's anything, it is tied to Pacheco. So I think Will brings up a good point that we probably should check in because we're working under the last we heard, which was be ready for week 1. And so I've been operating under that. I thought Pacheco was moving really, really well in camp before he exited with the MCL sprain. So I felt good about the way he looked for the backup. I would pose this question to you guys. If Gibbs needs an early season breather or gets banged up for a quarter or whatever, do you not think it's possible that Sailors is the first guy they turn to?
Yeah, no.
Because he's
more
natural
running back than Navaki.
Yeah, for sure.
And he's looked great this camp. And I talked to him a little bit, maybe a week or two ago, and in large part it was he just felt a comfort level with the blocking schemes, with the designs of the plays. And you hear football is football all the time, but I guess you take for granted when it gets to the NFL level how nuanced everything is. I think it's definitely Sailors. I think he's put some distance between him. I question whether they might roll into the season with 3 before camp. And, Sailors kind of put that to bed with his performance in the preseason, with his consistency in the practice field. Jabari Small was pushing him there for a while. I think the Lions really like him and would like to probably keep him on practice squad if they can. I think you feel good with these 4. Sailors gives you a ton on special teams, can reasonably block, although he did get kind of cooked on one of those reps in the Washington game. Got run over by a safety there that Blake Miller let through. But, I think you feel okay with these 4, assuming Pacheco is good to go, checks out.
Well, I would assume then for wide receiver, we got Amon-Ra. Okay, we'll just put him there. Jameson Williams. And then we'll Tesla, Greg Dortch. Okay, fair. All right. So what about this wide receiver room, fellas?
Yeah, this one's interesting. I'm not going to lie. Dan has kind of raved about this room pretty much all camp, and I'm curious to see what the final decisions are here because, look, they can go with 5 guys. They can go with 6. I assume it's going to be a specialist if you're keeping 5 or 6. Do you go with a guy like Tay Martin, who – like both Dan and Dave Phipp have kind of talked up all camp.
Yeah.
Cedric Wilson was a guy that I think Dan was really high on, but he ends up getting hurt here. A little bit tough of a situation for him, obviously. Dominic Lovett's a young guy that's been around, but hasn't really been super consistent. You got guys like Lucky Jackson and Cunningham. And look, Tom Kennedy's had a good camp. Like, sometimes I wonder, like, is he going to graduate like Dan Skipper did from perennial practice squad to, no, this guy's going to make the team? Like, they can manipulate kind of that whole deal and just keep him around the practice squad, call him up when they need him. But sometimes I wonder about him because you see him get first team reps when one of those guys has to miss time. So he's just going to be an important player no matter what, whether he's on the roster or the practice squad. But it's a really, really interesting room. I think in my last projection, I went with five receivers, and I believe I had Tay Martin as my fifth. So he got the spot just based on special teams and how they talk about him there and his work with the second team unit. I think he's been pretty consistent. So he would get my vote, but it's really up in the air, I think.
I feel like when Kendrick Law tore his ACL and was out for the year, we all assumed that Lovett was pretty much safe. That felt like the most direct competition for him to make this roster. Dortch comes in to replace Galeef, and then Kendrick Law and Dominic Lovett felt a little bit redundant in some ways. And then we hear Dave Phipp last week tell us that essentially their return jobs don't involve Lovett. It's really Tom Kennedy and Greg Dortch that they're looking at, and then it's some of those bigger bodies, someone even like Pacheco, he referenced as kick returner. And that, in my mind, really put a dent into Dominic Lovett's stock. And I agree, like when the ball has come his way just as a pure receiver this camp, there's been a few explosive plays downfield. It felt like for a couple of weeks there, he was getting loose for a 60-yard touchdown like every other practice. But some of the more fundamental catches have eluded him. And if he's not bringing that sizzle on special teams that I at least assumed he would as a return man, I have a hard time plotting a path onto the 53 for him. And that surprises me based on some of the things that felt like were breaking right for him entering camp. So, Colton, I'll go with you. J-Raj, I don't know if you differ here, but I think the way they have talked about Tay Martin as an asset, special teams, and some of the plays he's made offensively would compel me to keep him as number five here. But, shoot, I'm not taking anything to the bank.
I was definitely, man, I've flipped so many different times on this wide receiver five. I opened camp, it was Tom Kennedy for me. I thought Cedric Wilson was very strongly in the mix. He actually, I don't know if you guys saw it, got injury settlement today. So not only is he not on IR, he's no longer part of the organization. Really unfortunate, because I thought he added a veteran savvy element that you kind of love to have as an injury guy, right? And if you view this as a special teams position, much like we talked about with running back three and running back four, it feels like Martin's really kind of had the best camp. And even though offensively he's had some misplays, I think, in the preseason, he's shown plenty on the practice field. That extended again today, had a couple more plays in a end-of-game situation. He's got size, you know, that a lot of that they don't have a whole lot of other than Tesla. So it's the special team stuff that really stands out for me. The way he gets down there, the way he uses his length, he's pretty aggressive as both a blocker, which ports over to the special team stuff. And to me, that's the deciding factor. And Kennedy is a guy that, like, yeah, he's reliable and he knows everything, but maybe you take this for granted, but if you let him go, you're gonna be able to get him back on special teams. I don't think he's gonna get claimed. Colton said graduated, which made me think of Van Wilder, because that means Tom Kennedy's been in college for 10 years. But he'll be there. Like, he'll be there if you need him. He'll be on the practice squad. He'll inevitably get called up and contribute in some games. But right now, for me, I think it's Tay Martin. I hate that we're not differentiating here, but you know, we're listening to the same press conferences, we're seeing the same things, and Martin's put some distance a little bit going into this final preseason game.
Would it surprise any of you guys, though, if they kept Lovett just because he's only a year removed from being drafted by this team? And we know that Brad has typically been pretty loyal to his guys, especially this early in the process. Like, they would be potentially punting on a draft pick just a year removed from selecting him. So it wouldn't shock me if they extend the spot to Lovett on that basis more than maybe anything else, because they still see in him what they saw in April of 2025.
I wouldn't be shocked, but if, you know, for as much as they've talked up competition and no free handouts,
yeah,
you know, keeping him over a guy like Tay Martin, that I think we all agree Tay Martin's had probably more consistent camp, kind of speaks to you haven't really changed too much. So yeah, if we're to believe that they're on this new trajectory, new philosophy that, like, going to make guys earn everything, no roster spots are handed out just because you were drafted, then, you know, I don't think Love would be the guy in the scenario. But, you know, they do love their draft picks, so maybe they're just like, well, in this case, we'll keep one of our guys.
Right.
The thing that hurts it for me, Will, is one, he's primary slot, and that's Amon-Ra thrives there. Jameson Williams does a ton there. So like he doesn't offer a ton offensively. Greg Dortch, obviously, more slot first. And so you're really redundant on the offensive side of things. And then in terms of the return game, like he's been a little shaky. He put one on the ground in a game. He put a couple on the ground in different practices. He isn't the biggest body frame. So like in terms of coverage on those groups, like doesn't offer as much in the same way Kennedy doesn't. And so, you know, I would lean yes, surprise, not a strong surprise, but I'd be surprised if he makes over Martin.
Yeah.
And then Kendrick Law remains on IR.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So we'll go to tight ends. We'll just go. I'm assuming Sam Laporta. Safe bet there. Mm-hmm. Tyler Conklin, Brock Wright. Is that three good ones or any?
Those work. Those work.
I mean, the conversation, right, has been either Conklin and Meeks or four, right? And I think if you start doing some interesting roster math as you go further down the roster, and if you find room, like Meeks is a really interesting conversation for that 52nd or 53rd player on the roster. I think this team appreciates hard work. I think they appreciate kind of the selfishness of leaving the diva position of wide receiver, the sexier position of wide receiver, and being willing to put on that extra weight and do some more dirty work. Like, I think the Lions are very pleased with his attitude toward it, his commitment to it, and really kind of his early success. But you see some of the deficiencies as a blocker, not unexpected. It's new for him to be asked to block these 260-pound linebackers or 280-pound big ends, and you're going to get some knockback if your technique's not perfect, and it's a work in progress. I think if you waive Jackson Meeks, nobody is going to rush in there to claim him because it's a guy going through position change. They don't have the data the Lions have.
Yep.
They know the challenges that go into that. He doesn't have any tape outside of, you know, a handful of preseason snaps. I think they could comfortably waive him, continue to develop him on the practice squad. You go with the veteran Tyler Conklin that can backstop you in the best way with his experience if Laporta or Wright go down with injury.
Yeah, I agree. I think the Lions would love to reward the work ethic that Meeks has displayed since making that position switch. But the fact is, he was waived last year, and every NFL team then, and really still now, besides the Lions, knew him and knows him as a receiver, and no one picked him up last year. And so it'd be hard for me to imagine that a team that doesn't have any firsthand impressions of Jackson Meeks as a tight end would pick him up now as a tight end, having only seen a couple of preseason games. So yeah, I think they can afford to cut him and bring him back. And it wouldn't shock me if over the course of the year, he ends up playing a role for this team at tight end, especially with, you know, Conklin being later on in his career, and there's obviously injury risk attached to any older player. Shoot, even with Sam now, you have to wonder how he's going to hold up over the course of the season. But you know, I think I was on here last year, and I convinced you guys to keep Jackson Meeks on the roster, and they ended up cutting him. So I'm not going to plant my flag too firmly on him this year. I just think because of the position change, like you referenced, A-Rods, they can afford to cut him, and I'd be shocked if another team saw enough of him or thought enough of him as a tight end to pick him up.
Yeah, I'm on the fence about this, man. I'm not going to lie. I had Meeks in my last roster projection. That was before I saw Sam Laporta just looking like his old self, like immediately upon returning to practice. So Laporta looks pretty good out there. I'm not going to lie. And that was kind of a deciding factor for me when I just didn't know what Laporta would look like, if he's going to need more time, what might not be ready for week one. I'm like, maybe just roster Meeks and, you know, see what he can do if Laporta isn't available at the start of the season. But Laporta looks great, so I'm not really concerned about him anymore. And that makes it a little bit tougher. So, look, I think Meeks is a good developing player. Last year when he was a wide receiver, I think he was second in the NFL in preseason receiving yards. So the whole league got to see what he could do last year. Nobody, you know, claimed him last year. This year you added in the position change. Some developmental stuff there. Like, I do agree it's probably a bit more risky to try to claim him this year versus even last year when he was you know, doing what he was doing in the preseason. So they could probably get away with keeping him around the practice squad, maybe elevating him if Sam isn't ready for week one. So I think I'm with you guys. I'll do three. I think that's what we're in alignment on here. Three.
Yeah, I'm with three. The only way Sam isn't ready for week one, by the way, is if he suffers like another injury between now and then. I mean, I think it's safe to say he's going to play unless there's a setback somewhere along the way.
I think Meeks contributes this year. I do. All three of those guys are you know, have some mileage on them, have some recent injury history, and Meeks has an intriguing skill set. I mean, he can beat linebackers and safeties on routes, and so I think at some point the Lions are going to have a game plan where they want to be a little bit more aggressive with their tight end looks, this 13 personnel that we talk about all the time. And I think Petzing's going to see kind of a matchup weapon there that he can utilize. So I really do think by the end of the season, you know, Meeks will have some appearances and maybe even be part of the 53 by the end of the year.
Just food for thought and a quick devil's advocate perspective. If the Lions keep him, I could see them telling themselves, man, we have invested all of this time and effort and energy into helping him transition into a tight end that we believe in. How much would it suck to see him go thrive for a different team as a tight end after we sort of helped him realize this vision? So, you know, that could be one reason that they keep him on the roster. And I would understand that, but I'm keeping three here.
Another case for him, just, I don't know if we're about to switch here, but
yeah, Jackson Meeks Collective.
And I kind of wrote this in my roster prediction. I was like, if you go lighter at receiver, this is a guy that can play mm-hmm. receiver in a pinch and is learning tight end. So in some ways you get some extra value there with that versatility if they ever wanted to move him back to receiver. So
and how about those special teams plays he made in the second preseason game? I mean, we honestly, I don't want to belabor it, but we'd be remiss not to mention it wasn't just the obvious one that popped, the diving strip sack or the strip fumble on the kick return to basically seal the game. He also made a great tackle on another kick return to start the fourth quarter. Like, came out of the pile flexing. So we talk about him embracing the role of tight end and some of the grimier parts of that job. He's also really taken to showing himself on special teams, and that goes a long way for this team too. So let's just cut Tay Martin and keep Jackson Meeks.
I'm down to revisit this in case we have an extra spot later.
Yeah.
We can revisit.
Let's go offensive tackle. Blake Miller, assuming he's in, Penei Sewell, I'll give him a shot. You know, I'll give him a shot there. Larry Borum, I'll give him a shot there. I guess it's Giovanni Manu, by the way, stays on NFI. Is this how we click on this?
I guess.
Okay, that's what I was with. The I guess. Okay. So it's pretty set in stone with tackle.
Yeah. I don't think any of those other guys, like, man, Colby Sorcells had a rough camp. I mean, just brutal. If it's anybody, it's Cochran, and I think that's probably a necessary long shot at this point.
And then offensive guard, we will happily keep Tay Ratledge, Mahogany. And then I'll let you guys kind of break down the others in this room and give your thoughts on these guys.
Let's see.
It's a good start.
you can click Barch's name if it's up to me.
Yeah.
The thing with Barch is he's missed so much practice that, you know, I think a starting job is probably out of the question this late in the camp. I am kind of curious if they kind of scour the waiver wire and add a guard somewhere else or sign a veteran if they don't really love the depth here right now, because, you know, Barch has had some injuries. He just cleared concussion protocol return, but he missed a lot of time. Frazier hasn't developed probably the way you want him to. So if Mahogany or Tate get hurt and Juice is already playing center, you know, do you feel good about the depth there? That's kind of my question here. But I think in my prediction, I did Frazier, Tate, Mahogany, Barch. I don't know about you guys.
Yeah, I thought Barch looked really good yesterday in his first, like, real live practice. And it's not just because he blew up Devin White on that play downfield, although did he ever. I mean, we've been watching Devin White knock people off their feet since he showed up. He was on the receiving end yesterday from a hell of a block from Ben Barch. But just in general, I thought he looked physical, strong, and sort of imposing there at guard. So I can see why they brought him in for competition. It feels like it's too late for that competition to take place with Mahogany. But, you know, he doesn't mean he can't push him as the season progresses. And, you know, I'll go back to what I said about Lovett in relation to Frazier. I think they'll keep Frazier around a year removed from picking him in the fifth round and feeling really good about that. He was one of those guys that they always say was sticking out like a sore thumb. They couldn't believe they got him where they did. And you know, I know it's been rough for him in camp so far, and it's been pretty rough in the preseason, but I think they'll keep Frazier. Nice is intriguing because he has the center flexibility.
Well, he might be done. And I know they haven't put him on IR. He was on crutches in the locker room. That was going to be tough to justify. It's going to be Frazier. I think the fact they've been playing him at so many different spots hasn't helped him. You know, I obviously they're intrigued by the versatility, and you could go in with maybe one less lineman into a game, knowing that he can back you up at guard and tackle. But I've liked the tackle work a lot better, and I view him kind of as that fourth offensive tackle. But to me right now, he's kind of like the emergency option at all those spots outside of center. And so I think he's safe. I like Melvin Priestley a lot. I think that's a college tackle that is making a really nice transition to guard, still adjusting to some kind of the mental asks of the position in terms of picking up stunts and blitzes. But to me, that's a guy you throw on the practice squad and, you know, might be something in a year or two where you feel comfortable with him in a backup role. I do want to say one more thing about Ben Bartsch, though, guys. I'm not convinced that he's not starting at some point this season, and it won't necessarily be because of injury.
Yeah, that's what I mean about that competition. Maybe not playing out right now, but not being over.
I truly think part of the plan was for him to win that job, and the injuries kind of set him back. So I would not put it past him winning it later on.
So for center, Cade Mays, Juice Scruggs, Seth McLaughlin, any thoughts?
Put Cade IR to return. If you click that, yeah.
Yep.
And then I would add Seth there.
So we're all good on that. All right.
I'm actually going to contest this. I don't know if I'm putting Seth McLaughlin on this roster. I don't. And maybe part of it depends on what the time frame is for Mays. If he's going to be out 4 or 5 weeks, you know, I'm not putting McLaughlin on. If it's 8 weeks, maybe. But I think that the Tate Ratledge stuff at center is kind of maybe a soft preparation for that emergency option. And you can promote McLaughlin 3 times off the practice squad and not use up a spot on the 53-man roster. He just hasn't shown enough. I thought he regressed in week 2. I think it's kind of carried over to his camp practices. I would rather take that spot and put it somewhere else. And I don't think it was an accident that Dan kind of mentioned that maybe they're going to find an interior option that's not currently on the roster. This might be a case where, you know, Brad kept 51 last year, might keep less than 50, hunting for maybe a better center flex option in the waiver pool.
Would you like to go 52 or 51 for this sake?
I would rather save that for a defensive player. I think the defensive decisions were tough for me, and maybe that was part of it as I was trying to find room elsewhere. But I had it as 8 offensive linemen, which again, I surprised myself when I did it, but I don't know if I go back to Brad Holmes' words where he says X number of guys didn't deserve to make the Detroit Lions. I don't know if Seth McLaughlin deserves to make the team.
I just think center is such a tough position to learn on the fly, learn a whole offense. And Seth's been here the entire offseason. So I think that gives him a leg up, even if he's not their preferred body type at center. And bringing in a vet to play that position, even in the reserve role, might be a little bit tough on the fly, but I'm fine leaving him off if you want to.
Will, you're the deciding voter here, I guess.
I'll keep him on for now because I just reject the idea of Tate Ratledge playing center. And I understand it.
And Tate rejects it too.
And Tate rejects it right along with us. I understand it could be someone from the outside coming in. But the idea that they're going to cut Seth because they have faith in Tate if they need him, just I can't abide that. I can't.
Poor Gus Hartwig didn't even make the sheet. Oh no, there he is. I see him.
Yeah.
Never mind. I'm sorry.
His name, he's out there.
Okay.
Yeah, there he is. Oh, Purdue. Before we get to defense,
all over it.
We do have to tell you about our friends over at Prize Picks. And today, by the way, let me get this on screen for you guys. Right here. All right. So I got some picks for you. By the way, use the code HMA. New users, play $5, get $150 if you win. You see who I'm going with. I'm going more Jahmyr Gibbs on the season, 1,200.5 rushing yards. I'm going more Jared Goff, 4,000 passing yards. Come on, he's clearing that easily. I'm going more. And then Torrey Taylor, Okay, you guys think these get even crazier the more we do these. Torrey Taylor, 22.5, punts inside 20. I'm going more. Use the code HMA. Play $5, get $150 if you win. America's number one sports picks app. Proud sponsor of Lions Collective. All right, let's get back to our 53-man roster prediction. We'll get to the defense. We spent some time on the offense here. let's get to defensive end.
Just go back to Jackson Meeks real fast, though.
let's talk about D end here, guys. I'm assuming Aiden Hutchinson's good enough to make it. Derek Moore's good enough to make it. Wanham, and I think those are four pretty good ones here. And then you guys can
Lacy's going to start at big end.
There you go. So we're good. We're good with that one.
Haven't seen Peyton Turner in weeks. So yeah. Eric O'Neill's done some good things. Anthony Lucas, that's your guy, right, Jeff? Anthony Lucas.
Yes, I do. Yeah,
I do. He's a great practice squad candidate. The right coaching staff can develop his traits, but there's no path to the 53 for him right now.
Tough for the believers, Colton. Tough for the believers right now.
How wild is it though? I mean, just generally speaking, going back to June or whatever, that we're just gonna Hasanin's in, no second guessing.
Yeah.
I think that's been the craziest rise of camp. I'm not going to hide from it. I dismissed his chances pretty early in the offseason. And talk about Jackson Meeks, making a commitment, because I'm going to keep talking about Jackson Meeks with the rest of us. But Hasanin's commitment with working with Hutchinson's trainer to trim the body fat almost in half, to take to a new position, which I think married very well with his skill set as well. But he's just flourished all camp. I don't know if any defender outside of Hutchinson has made more plays consistently, and wasn't out of practice today. I don't know if that's anything to be concerned about. I'm doubtful, because I think Campbell probably would have brought it up, but it's just really interesting to me, and I think it merited a note that we just locked him in without really a discussion. And I agree with you.
Yeah, he's come a long way.
Get to defensive tackle, Lee McNeil, Ty Leak. I mean, it's kind of crazy. Would we say Levi as well on that list? And then it's kind of crazy to say this, but not crazy, but it is. Speaking of what you're saying, Justin, Skylar Gil-Howard feels like just an automatic.
He's repping first team now.
Yeah, which I love to hear as a rookie. But anyone else you guys want to give your thoughts on this one? Chris Smith?
I'll just say briefly for Gil-Howard, he did not have a good start to camp. Mm-mm. I mean, he over the first week, you could tell he was really down on himself. And in his defense, it was his first time really on the football field since he broke his ankle. I guess it was last October or last November. And imagine going from college injury rehab, then you're thrust into the most physical NFL training camp of the 32 teams, and you got to sink or swim. And oh, by the way, you're also an undersized defensive tackle going against some hog mollies. That's the word that I couldn't come up with 4 months ago on the offensive line. So it sounds like Shep chewed him out a little bit, got into him pretty good after the first week of camp, and just demanded him to elevate his play. And that message resonated. And over the past 2.5-3 weeks, Gil-Howard has been a monster. And he really is now getting consistent looks with the first team defense. I don't even think, I wonder how much we'll even see him play in the third preseason game. He has really shined as that quick, nimble, pass rushing interior defensive lineman that they hoped they had drafted.
I'm just not sure about Levi, and I don't like saying that. Obviously, I really like the guy. We've had him on Will and I's old podcast. He's always a good interview.
Yeah.
And has proven in flashes to be a really good player. It's been a really tough camp to read with him. You know, he spent a lot of time repping with a third team defensive line, and kind of reminded me of John Kaminsky's kind of last days in Detroit before he got knocked out for the season by an unfortunate injury. I think we were all saying oh, is Kaminsky a guy we thought for sure was on the roster is suddenly off the roster? And so we've seen Levi rep higher in recent weeks. We heard Dan Campbell mention that he had some kind of injury setback. Wasn't a lot of clarity on it, but did sound like they needed to dial him down before ramping him back up. But I think the defensive line room is intriguing enough that I don't know if I can call him the lock that we maybe kind of made him. And beyond that, you know, and I've kind of been going back and forth with this, but I do think they need a backup nose tackle. Like, it's not the biggest priority in the world, but I think you do need a run stuffer that can back up Tyleek Williams. And there's two guys on the roster that can do that, and it's Chris Smith and Ben Stille. I think the Lions, and by the Lions, I mean Dan Campbell, really likes both those guys, right? Like, they like and trust Chris Smith. He's been here now. Is this year four? At least year three. On the practice squad most of that time, but made the roster last year when only 50 dudes made the roster. Then Stille just drops into the middle of training camp and been wrecking dudes, particularly in one-on-ones. He had a sack today. Got really early reps, if not starter reps, saw first team reps on the practice field. And so, you know, clearly that's a player the Lions are taking a really, really long, hard look at to see, like, is this a guy maybe we want to keep on the 53? So I would make a case here, it whether we're going to keep Levi or not, like, if there's a fifth, I think it's going to be one of those two.
I'm for keeping Levi. I think I kind of wondered early on if they were just maybe repping him third team just to get his feet under him, you know, coming off and not playing football in however many months.
Yeah.
And he has been working his way back up the depth chart. And, you know, I've seen him out there on their goal line package. So I do think he's going to have a role this year. I think he's also played pretty solid in snaps he's gotten this preseason. So I have him in, but I think it's worth a discussion at least. I would agree with that. For the fifth guy here, I went with Stille in my last roster projection. I didn't know if that was aggressive, but I'm all for it, man. Like, he's coming here, and he's really showing some stuff. I feel like every day he's making a play. Every day that I watch him, he's either getting knocked back or, you know, showing a bull rush, setting an edge, doing whatever this team needs from him. And he did remind me a little bit of John Kaminsky. I know, Bertie, you asked Dan about that the other day. Yeah. So, you know, I think he has that versatility that the Lions, you know, covet. He can play some nose. He can play some three tech if you need him to. He can play that big end role. So, you know, he gives you that versatility. And, you know, I'm looking at Mekhi Wingo. He's kind of, you know, redundant with Gil Howard here.
Yeah.
Miles Adams, I think you can keep around the practice squad. Chris Smith, probably the same. And then Tyree West, we just haven't really seen much from him. So I would give the last spot to Stille, but that's just me.
The decision between Stille and Chris Smith is going to be gut-wrenching for Dan. I mean, like, he is just enamored with both those guys. And if Chris Smith makes it, it'll be because of the one play in the preseason opener when the defense ended up with 10 men on the field and he had to eat a triple team at the point of attack and held his own. I think Dan Campbell will be seeing that play with hearts in his eyes as he's trying to decide whether to keep Stille or Smith. So I'll cast a vote for Smith, but if you guys want to go Stille, I'm cool with that too.
So it seems like
I'll go bold with you. I'll go Stille. I think he's had the more impact here.
And then we got a linebacker, which, you know, we'll just put these guys.
Another interesting discussion.
Yeah, but take it away. Take it away for this lineup of linebackers.
Well, you got Devin White joining midstream and suddenly going to start for this team probably. Other depth pieces that are staying. I think Malcolm Rodriguez is safe. I think Trevor Nowoski is another guy that they really like. And, you know, just for the sake of argument, I feel like I'm keeping Jimmy Roldor on IR. And I think he's going to be an early season return, and maybe they'll take advantage of maybe somebody else that gets hurt in that stretch before he comes back. But, you know, the fact that he's not going to come back and practice before the end of training camp, I think there's just a benefit on letting him miss those first four games and coming back to practice fully healed. And so that buys you an extra roster spot. So question really boils down to, do you keep a seventh? And the Lions have done it a couple times. And with some of their questions at nickel, I think they're probably going to be a base heavy defense once again, despite all the energy we invest into the nickel conversation and playing more nickel this offseason. Once again, I know we keep coming back to these points, but special teams, special teams, special teams, that's the deciding factor. And so for me, it really boils down to Eric Hunter, who I think is a really interesting UDFA, a lot of upside there, certainly raw going to need some development coming out of a smaller school like Morgan State versus Jobachi. Like that's a little bit more of a stable veteran that's done it a long time in this league. And you talk about tough decisions. I mean, this has been one of the toughest ones for me. And I've leaned Hunter in my picks just because I feel like the Lions like to award a UDFA. I think that is kind of a trend. I know they didn't last year, but historically they have. And this is maybe one spot where you can get away with banking a little bit more on upside versus the patchwork veteran.
I like keeping Roeder on IR. I think it frees up that extra spot. If we're going like a 7 in this scenario, I'd probably give Debachi just because he's been pretty consistent with special teams in his career.
Yeah.
254 snaps last year, 220 the year before, 283 the year before that, 215 the year before that. So if that's what it's going to be, I would probably give Debachi. I think in my projection, I only had 6 if you include Roeder. I had Meeks in my roster. So that's kind of where I differed. I went a little bit lighter. You can call Bocci from the practice squad if you want to keep him around there, but I'm good with either.
Joe Bocci feels like a Dan Campbell guy, and in fact, yeah, he was a Dan Campbell guy in New Orleans back in 2020. I think, Justin, you were asking Dan about this today, and he was just like, he's the same guy now that he was then. I think Dan Campbell really values a lot of the qualities that Joe Bocci brings to the football field, especially the fact that they're proven qualities. They can count on those qualities on special teams if and when they need them. So I'll go Bocci here.
Hey, Jeff, really quickly, scroll to the bottom and just check all three specialists to ease our discussion here as we're narrowing down the numbers tight.
All right, we'll go to corner. We'll get some of the easy ones out of the way, I guess. We'll go Rock. Nick Whiteside, assuming that one's already kind of set in stone. Khalil Dorsey.
Yeah. Okay. Special teams demon.
So talk to me here about the rest of this room.
I think it's interesting that they've played Whiteside at safety a little bit, somewhat in that first second preseason game. And then we saw him again repping some safety yesterday. I think they're just trying to find ways to justify keeping him on the roster. They want to keep him on this roster. And you know, the fact that he was moving around to safety to me signaled that, you know, he's actually safe as a corner. Like they're investing in ways to keep Nick Whiteside around. And I think he's been the third best cornerback on roster all camp. I don't see them parting ways with Ennis Rakestraw at this point. You know, they're too thin at corner, and they've invested too much in Ennis as a second round pick just 2 years ago, I think, to forfeit to leave him off the roster. So I'll keep Ennis around.
I had this group plus McCurry in my last production, but I know it's somewhat controversial, but I just feel like they're going to need bodies here. That position is pretty volatile. I think if you don't have a veteran like McCurry, you leave yourself vulnerable with a rookie like Keith Abney, especially if Christian Izian, who's listed as a safety, I believe, on this, is not going to be around for the start of the season. I'd probably just want the veteran just to kind of stick around, but I know that was kind of a toss-up for a lot of people.
I'm going to second the vote for McCurry. You know, he's had a weird camp where, you know, I don't know, maybe he didn't enter as the starting nickel because they planned on putting Christian Izzy in there and he had to start on NFI. But either way, he played so poorly those first, let's call it 2 weeks of camp, where a lot of us, I think, were like ready to leave him off. And maybe some of you did on your whatever 53 projections you did during that time frame. But at some point, they shifted him more outside. And I feel like for whatever reason, even if that maybe wasn't what his profile suggested he was as a player, he's really thrived out there. And that's continued into both preseason games. I think McCreary adds some needed depth on the outside where, you know, you never know with Ennis's durability, you know, whether you got to shift Whiteside around temporarily. So I feel really good with this group of 7.
Let's get to safety. Brian, Kirby, We'll just knock those out, and you guys can kind of break down the rest of this room. Tell me, we got what, 4 spots left? So talk to me.
Yeah,
yeah. I mean, it feels pretty simple to me. Maddox and Clark are obviously going to start. They've been starting all camp. I think Thomas Harper has played his way back up the ladder. I was surprised that he was even that low to begin with, because I thought he played pretty darn well at free safety and in place of Kirby last year. But it felt like for whatever reason, he had to sort of climb his way back up the depth chart. And he has done that over the past 2 weeks. And so while I was kind of waffling for a little bit on whether or not they were going to keep him, I feel pretty confident about that now. And I do like his like sort of ranginess and some of the ball skills coming along. And obviously Izian's going to be here, and you know, maybe he's nickel, maybe he's safety, but I feel like this one's pretty clear.
Izian's injury maybe probably makes it easier to justify keeping Harper around too.
Right.
Yeah. I think Harper was safe. I think they spent early offseason trying to cross train him in some stuff that he didn't do as much last year, particularly strong safety.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, he's dealing with a minor ankle thing. I'm pretty confident he'll be ready for week one, where Izian won't be. So Harper will give you kind of that multifaceted safety that can backstop it. I think we're both in agreement that Branch and Kirby stay on PUP. I know Dan's been talking about they won't be ready for week one, but I think that buys you to week five and lets them fully heal and recover, in Kirby's case, I guess, as much as possible. So it sounds like our big debate only was Jackson Beeks versus Seth McLaughlin. You guys want to revisit it? No?
No, there you go.
I feel like it was McLaughlin, Joe Bocci, and Meeks were like the three ones that we were probably debating the most, but whatever.
Good stuff today. Fellas, everyone in the chat, we appreciate you as well. Subscribe, hit the like button. We'll be back next week. There's your 53-man roster.
Bro, it's tough to be a seventh-round pick from Georgia in the 2025 draft on this team. Yeah. It's just dropping, man.
We're submitting our...
Publish it. Let the people see it.
There you go.
Send that right to Brad.
We'll catch you guys.
That's too many players.
Until next week.
You got to cut that down to 47.
We'll catch y'all. Until then, peace. All right, fellas. You guys take care, man.